Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's conference call covering test flows from Fort Peck Dam. This call is open to the public to provide information on the status of test flows from Fort Peck Dam to ensure compliance with the 2018 biological opinion. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. If you guys were there just a second ago, you heard John Remus. He is on another call with respect to flooding in the Missouri Basin downstream of Gavin's Point. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6. The force mute function does not work on all phones, so if I ask, please use your phone's on mute function and do not place the call on hold. We'll have a question and answer session at the end of the call. We have Mike Swenson providing the Missouri Basin Water Management update on the test flows, and then Joe Bono from Missouri River Recovery Program will provide an update on monitoring, and he will also be presenting the information that Pat typically presents to us. With that, I'll hand the call over to Mike Swenson.
Okay, thanks, Eileen. In terms of our regulation of Fort Peck releases were stepped up last week and into the weekend to reach the 20,000 CFS target at Wolf Point, which we reached earlier this week. The peak flows are still working their way downstream in the Fort Peck Reach. Culbertson now is nearing the 20,000 CFS also. Fort Peck releases were reduced this morning from 20,000 CFS down to 19,000 CFS after meeting the target for the 3 days. We will reduce releases by 1,000 CFS each day for the next several days, and the spillway from Fort Peck will be closed next Wednesday, and then releases from Fort Peck will reach 8,000 CFS on July 6th. That's all I had. I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
All right, thanks, Mike. And we have had a few more people join us. I just want to reiterate, this call is for the Fort Peck flow test. If you're calling for Lower Missouri Basin Gavin's Point update, please use the older link. I'm going to hand the call over to Joe Bono with Missouri River Recovery Program to provide an update.
Thanks, Eileen. This is Joe. So I have a couple updates on the physical monitoring. Things are going as we described on the last call. So the physical surveys at the selected pump sites is ongoing as we speak. The intent was to get those done during or near the peak of flows. So that's ongoing. The aerial imagery will occur as soon as the conditions are optimal, which is likely to be the 1st of next week, I believe, but when the cloud conditions are optimal and they can get good imagery, that's the most important. So that's going the way we had planned. The fish monitoring, I'll give an update here that Pat normally gives. Pat Broughton from USGS is immersed today with the larval stocking event, the pallid sturgeon larval stocking event associated with this test flow. So he sent us his slides and he put some words on the slides to help me share the results. So on the fish side, if you recall, there were a number of females in the Missouri River Reach and fairly high in the Missouri River Reach. Those are tracked regularly, both intensively, manually by people in boats and with this network of stationary receivers. So Pat and others are able to keep a pretty good handle on where these fish are. And since that first peak, if you recall, that did bring fish upriver as expected. When flows increase, fish often move upriver into them. That includes Pallas sturgeon. So the second peak now appears to be doing the same thing. These females that have been tracked are showing upstream movement. And ideally, they move as far upstream as they can go, up towards the dam, up towards the spillway. Ideally, they would choose to spawn up there. That remains to be seen. So the crews continue to track these fish. There are several females. Here's a slide showing one, showing that it's moved upstream since the second peak began. Its location that it currently resides isn't on the map, but it's upstream from Wolf Point, as this slide says. And Eileen, if you could go to the next slide, please. There's a series of slides that kind of show the same thing. They're tracking these females that are moving upstream almost assuredly in response to flows increasing. As I mentioned, that's what these fish and other fish do. If you go to the next slide, more of the same. The hatchery the females that they've been tracking that have been hanging around up there, they are starting to move upstream in response to these flows. And the big question is going to be, what do they do? So the crews are watching them closely, watching to see if they fixate on a spot, if they aggregate with other telemetered fish, maybe indicating that they're looking to spawn or spawning. And if they see that occurring, followed by fish heading back downstream after that, indicating that the fish may be spawned, the crews will try to recapture those fish and verify that they spawned. A lot has to happen to get to that point. That's what ultimately the purpose of the test flow is, to get fish all the way up there and to get them to spawn. Lots of work has to be done to actually see that happen and to verify that it happens. And this work that Pat is presenting in these slides is part of it. Keeping an eye on these fish day to day, determining where they are, and learning as much as you can just from their daily movements, how they're congregating, and what they do, you know, towards the end of the time period when they should have spawned. Next slide, please. I think there's another. So these are some other fish. The amount of upstream movements varied a bit, but it is, Pat did indicate when I talked to him, it did warm up a little bit up there. That probably will help. There are a number of things that can influence sturgeon. Temperature is one of them. In this case, warmer would be better for a number of reasons. And increased turbidity likely would help. The Milk River isn't really contributing anything significant, so turbidity's been fairly low. Nonetheless, these fish have moved upstream some. Next slide, please. So here in the coming weeks, on future calls, you'll hear more about what these fish ultimately did, because this second peak's going to come and go. The fish will do whatever they're going to do. The crews are going to be on them. And here in coming weeks, they'll likely be able to determine whether the fish, how far they ultimately went upstream, and then what they did, and whether they spawned. And then the crews, they'll shift, many of them will shift to looking for young sturgeon that were produced. So all that's still to come. And right now the larval stocking that's been part of this is getting started as well. So there'll be lots to share here in the next few calls.
All right, thank you, Joe. I did have one question that was asked on our Facebook page, so I'll go ahead and ask that question before I move to the question and answer session. The person wanted to know, curious the thoughts of first release right as the walleye in Fort Peck were spawning. So was there plans or concerns for the walleye spawn during the peak of the first flow test, or yeah, the peak of the first high flows during the test? And is there concern for how it may impact spawning numbers of the walleye?
Yeah, well, some of the state fish biologists, I don't think there are any on that could answer that question better. If typically when the fish are spawning, you would want the reservoir levels to be stable or rising a little bit. Which reservoirs do that in a given year can be altered. So one reservoir is favored over another, depending on the year, to try to provide those conditions. Alter.
We lost you, Joe. You cut out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what happened. So I don't know if it's the case that the walleye were spawning as this second peak was happening. It seems like they should have already spawned a while ago. So it's all about the timing. It is true that ideally the reservoir would be steady or slowly rising during and after the spawning. So somebody would need to compare, and the state guys would have the information, compare the actual timing of the walleye spawn that they saw and how the water levels were fluctuating. Fort Peck water levels haven't fluctuated a lot. They came up earlier, which is when I would have guessed the walleye were spawning, but don't know for sure. And they've declined slightly, not a lot. So I would be speculating a bit on what impact, if any, there would be. Better talk to the state fish folks that manage to keep track of the walleye.
Thanks. Yeah, I think that gives us some good insights, and I will respond to the person that asked the question. We're going to move into the question and answer session from callers. So right now I've got 30 people on the line. I also have Dick Iverson's hand already up. Just remember that your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. And then once I take hands that are up or any questions in the chat, we'll go in alphabetical order by state after starting with Montana and North Dakota. With that, Dick, you know the drill. Go ahead and come off mute and ask your question.
Yes, thank you. And two quick questions. One, I know it's a little early, but is there any way to statistically graph what normally has happened the last 30 years on fish going up the Missouri versus what's happening this last week or two? And then the second one is, any good news about intake yet compared to last year? Had they noticed more fish, same fish going up? Thank you.
Both good questions, Dick. Pat would be the best person to answer those. Aaron's on the phone. He might be able to about the best way to compare to past years. Every year's a bit different. There's telemetry data for many years now under a variety of conditions. And I know Pat has presentations where he's compared across years, but that would be left up to Pat, I think. And then the other question, I haven't heard an update in the last week or two from the Yellowstone on where the fish are and what they've done so far. We will have one. Not too far into the future, but I don't have one now. An update.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Aaron, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
No, I think that will be forthcoming. I think it's too early. We're all very much right in the middle of this, and I'm on my way now to meet Pat to release these larvae here this afternoon below Fort Peck. So those kinds of reporting of analyses will come later. So a little bit of patience. Perfect. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Aaron. And I will pass on Dick's request for the charting to try to compare what we're seeing this year to years past. I don't know that it'll necessarily be able to be provided, but we will put in the request and address whether or not we could or not. So if it's not there, we'll tell you why. And if it is there, you'll get to see it. Next up, I have David Trimpe.
Yeah, with reclamation. I can answer one of Dick's question, the one on intake.
Oh, great, thank you.
Dick, just broad brush, seems like we're seeing lower numbers up at intake. You know, does that have to deal with, you know, fish going up to Missouri to Fort Peck? I don't know if we can nail that down with certainty. We actually had a pretty weird water year on the Yellowstone. It was pretty cool. We had a pretty good push of water in the middle of April that sent quite a few fish up early, and then they just kind of tailed off since then. We've been pretty below normal on the Yellowstone. So just kind of a unique year all around, but overall numbers are down a little bit at intake this year.
Thank you, David, and we'll go to Buzz.
Yes, thank you. Yesterday, some of us were on the Mr. Rick Adaptive Management Compliance Report, and just when they talk about upper river fish, they treat the population as one, and I guess this is mainly directed to Joe Bono, but I think it's confusing, at least to me sometimes, and maybe others, that when we talk about fish using the Missouri River, now we're talking about the ones that are just in the Missouri reach, not in the Yellowstone. And I don't know how to address that, Joe, so it's not confusing, but maybe you've got some ideas. But I think, you know, when they, and I know sometimes when Pat talks about, you know, there's median number of fish is 14 in the Missouri River, that's Missouri River reach, it's not the population. So maybe you've got some ideas on how to address that, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point, Buzz. And it's, you know, ultimately it's a group of fish. They can spawn up the Missouri, they can spawn up the Yellowstone. I mean, during the test flow, when Pat's reporting out, he's reporting out just the part of the fish that they're tracking up the Missouri to look at response to test flows, but the fish up the Yellowstone are being tracked, and it will all be brought together. Ultimately, it's, you know, but I don't know if it's more confusing or less confusing to explain everything that's going on both systems each time, but ultimately we will. It's the same group of fish, and we're just kind of reporting out on it in pieces because there's different actions on each side of the system occurring. So it's a good point. We need to make sure everybody's clear on how that fits together and ultimately report it all out together to avoid some confusion.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Okay,
go ahead, Buzz.
No, I was just thanking Joe, thank you.
Okay, I was too. All right, so we'll go, I don't see any other hands up. We'll go in alphabetical order by state, again, starting with Montana, *6, or click your microphone to come off mute and ask your question, state your name and the organization to present. Nothing for Montana. We'll go to North Dakota. Iowa. I got to get back to my list so I make sure I stay in alphabetical order. Kansas. Missouri. Nebraska. South Dakota, Wyoming? Anyone we may have missed? Don't see any hands up. Oh, Dick's got his hand up again. Dick, do you have another question?
Yeah, sorry about being late on this, but I don't know if it's so much a question, but just if there's anything in your news releases you could mention, is tell people to be careful, because with these high flows, people are continually taking trash off some of their pump sites. Very dangerous. Talking to one guy yesterday, he said he checks his every 2 hours, even at night. So just it's a big safety issue. It's the water's not as high as it was going to be, but it's still plenty high, and it's really flushing the toilet. There's everything in the world coming down that river right now. Thank you.
No, that's a very good point. Thank you. And I will make sure to include that in our update. We will have an update on the planned decreases to that flow test. With that, I'm going to hand the call over to Mike Swenson to close it out.
Thanks everyone for joining the call. I didn't have anything else to add at the end, Eileen, here, so.
No problem. And we will have another call next Wednesday. Same time, same link. And I'm posting the recording to our website, which also goes to podcasts. So if you have somebody that missed it, they can search for Missouri River Water Management and find it online. With that, it concludes today's call, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.